cargo insurance. Fourth one, cargo insurance is underwritten on the institute cargo clause with the coverage on A, B, on C basis. Institute cargo clause basis A, B, or C. A is having the widest coverage and C is the most restricted coverage. Whereas valuable cargo is known as specie. Institute cargo clause also exists for the insurance of a specific type of cargo such as frozen food or frozen meat, then particular commodities such as bulk oil, coal, oil and jute. Perishable nature of the commodity that is covered under this insurance, cargo insurance. Now, floating policy. This floating policy is taken for relatively large sum by regular supplier of the goods. It covers several shipments which are declared afterwards along with the other particulars. This policy is most suitable or situated to the exporters in order to avoid trouble of taking all the time, each time a new policy or something like that. Another policy is a time policy. Time policy is taken for the definite period of time, usually not exceeding 12 months, say from January 1 to December. Okay? This policy is most suitable for the hull insurance. Another is voyage policy. Voyage policy is a subject matter of insured for the specific voyage, say from Karachi to Port Said, it is named as a voyage policy. Just for example, Karachi and Port Said, that is named, okay? That is a voyage policy. Because there are threat in this during the voyage. That is why this policy is required. Then mixed policy. In mixed policy, what happens? This combination of time and voyage, what we have earlier discussed. And it is therefore covers the risk of both a particular voyage and the stated period of time required to reach to the destination. That is covered under this policy. That is why it is called a mixed policy. Valued policy. This valued policy, under its term of agreed value, the subject matter of insurance is mentioned in the policy itself. In case of cargo, this value means the cost of the goods plus freight and shipping charges plus 10% to 15%. This is the value arrived at for insuring the goods. Now, unveiled policy or open policy or blank policy, where the value of the subject matter of the insurance is not declared, but it is left to ascertain and proved later, that it is called as unvalued policy. General execution under the above cargo clauses is all the three clauses, A, B, C, all the three clauses exclude the following risk. What risk is not covered when insurance cargo clause A, B, or C is used? Then willful misconduct of assured, no coverage. Okay. Then ordinary leakage or ordinary loss in weight or volume of the, or ordinary wear and tear of the vessel is not covered. Then insufficiency or insuitability of the packing or preparation of the subject matters of insured. And inherent vice or nature of the subject matter insured. General exclusion consists all the three causes, as I said earlier. Delay is not considered, insolvency, unseaworthiness and unfitness of the vessel, craft or conveyance and containers, etc., war and strike. These are not covered under the insurance. Okay. Now, risk covered under the Institute Cargo Clause B. What is the risk covered under Institute Cargo Clause B? The cover is similar to that of Cargo Clause C. But in addition to that, earthquake, volcanic eruption and lightning, washing overhead, entry of the sea, lake or river water into the vessel, craft hold the conveyance or the containers, lift, van or place of the storage. Total loss of any package that is lost on board or dropped while it's loading or unloading from vessel is not covered under Institute Cargo Clause B. Now, Institute Cargo Clause C. This consists of the coverage of fire, explosion, vessel being started at sunk, dubne laga, overturning and the derailment of the land conveyance, collision of the vessel, then discharge of the cargo at the port of the distress, general average sacrifice and jettison. This is most restricted clause in the insurance policy. That is why it is insurance cargo clause C. Now, coming down to another type of document, that is transport document. This transport document consists of several documents depending upon mode of transport, which may be airway bill or airway consignment note. It may be mate receipt. It may be bill of lading, railway consignment note or railway receipt or railway bill, or it may be post parcel document. Let us understand one by one what it is. Airway bill. We are looking into the transport document, that is third category. Airway bill or air consignment note. Airway bill, AWB, or air consignment note refers to the receipt which is issued by the international airline company for the goods and evidence of contract of the carriage, but it is not a document to the title of goods. It is not a title of document. Airway bill is not at all considered as a title of goods. Hence, the airway bill is non-negotiable under Negotiable Instrument Act. The airway bill makes sure that the goods have been received for the shipment by the air, but the journey of the good has not been started. That is why it is called considered as not a title to the document of the goods. A typical airway bill sample consists of 3 original and 9 copies. The first original is for the carrier, and that is signed by the export agent. The second original, the consignee's copy, and is signed by the export agent. And the third original is signed by the carrier and is handed over to the export agent as a receipt for the good. So, in short, it is only receipt of the goods for transportation, where journey of the goods has not been started. Now, airway bill serves as proof of receipt of the goods for shipment that you have seen. An invoice for the freight, a certificate of insurance, and it is a guide to airline staff for handling and dispatch and deliver this consignment. International airway bill that contains the consolidated cargo as called as a master airway bill. There are 2 types of it: master airway bill and house airway bill. Whereas master airway bill have additional papers which is called as house airway bill. Each house airway bill contains the information of each individual shipment, that is consignee, content, etc., within the consolidation. International airway bill that are not consolidated, only one shipment in one bill, are called as simple airway bills. A house airway bill can also be created by the freight forwarder and not the airline carrier. When the shipment is booked, the airline issues master airway bill to the forwarder, and then forwarder, who in turn issues the house airway bill to its customer, that is exporter. Mate receipt is another type of transport document. Mate receipt is the document which is used in the shipment of cargo. When the goods are received by or for the purpose of sea carrier, mate's receipt is issued as an acknowledgement for having received the goods for shipment. This is the first evidence that the goods are received, and the statement on the document describes the quantity of the goods and identify the marks that is appearing and its condition. Mate receipt is a document originally issued by the first mate of the ship. The officer which is responsible to receive the goods, the document would be issued by him after the cargo has been tallied into the ship by teleclerk. It's a process. The shipper on his representative would then take the mate's receipt to the master of the cargo or master of the agent to exchange it for the bill of lading. Which would incorporate any condition inserted into the mate's receipt. Now coming down to important document in international trade, that is bill of lading. This bill of lading is considered as a proper document to the title of the goods. And bill of lading is also a document given by the shipping agency for the goods which are shipped for the transportation from one destination to another and signed by the representative of the carrying vessel. Bill of lading is issued in the set of generally three, sometimes it is two or three or more depending upon their policy. The number of sets that will be indicated on each bill of lading and all must be accounted for. Suppose three bill of ladings are issued, first original, second original, third original, like that notation will be there on the bill of lading. And thereafter, the additional copy will be non-negotiable. Additional copies provided will be non-negotiable. What is more important is the negotiable copy, and that negotiable copy is nothing but original one. Okay? This is done due to the safety reason, which ensures that document never comes into the hands of an unauthorized person. Three copies are given and all three must be presented at a time. Not one to the one person, second to another person, like that. All the three must be presented for the payment or for taking delivery of the goods to the concerned beneficiary. He has to be provided all the three copies. Okay? Only one original is sufficient, though, to take possession of the goods at the port discharge, so the bank which finances the trade transaction will need to control the complete set. The bill of lading must be signed by the shipping company or its agent and must show how many signed originals were issued. It will indicate whether the cost of the freight carriage has been paid or not. And when there is a notation, freight prepaid, that means the sailor has already paid the freight for carrying the goods from one point to another point. But if that notation states that freight collect, it means It is the responsibility of the buyer before taking possession of the goods to make the freight payment and take the delivery of the goods at the freight of discharge. Now, types of bill of lading. There are different types of bill of lading depending upon its nature. First one is a straight bill of lading. Straight bill of lading is nothing but shipping items that have already been paid for. Shipping items are already been paid for and it is only to be delivered. Okay. Now next one is to order bill of lading. Order bill of lading is used for shipment when the payment is not made in advance, and this can be shipped, this can be shipping to one of your distributor or maybe the customs in terms. Third one is a clean bill of lading. Clean bill of lading is simply a bill of lading that the shipping carrier has signed off on the saying that when the packages were loaded on the ship, they were in good condition. This is certification, okay? Unwritten certification. If the packages are damaged to the cargo, is marred, or in some way it is rusted metal, stained paper, etc., then they will need to issue a soiled bill of lading, foul bill of lading, or closed bill of lading. Okay? Next one is an inland bill of lading. This allows the shipping carrier to ship the cargo or by road or rail across the domestic land, but not the overseas. Fifth one is ocean bill of lading. Ocean bill of lading is allows the shipper to transport the cargo overseas, nationally or internationally. Another type is thorough bill of lading. What is this thorough bill of lading? Thorough bill of lading is a little more complex than the most bill of ladings. It allows for shipping carrier to pass the cargo through the several different modes of transportation and several different distributor centers. This bill of lading needs to be included, an inland bill of lading and also an ocean bill of lading depending upon its final destination. Then multimodal or combined transport bill of lading. This multimodal or combined transport bill of lading is a type of thorough bill of lading that involves minimum of two different modes of the transport, land, ocean. The modes of transport that can be anything from freight boat or to air also. But only one bill of lading will be issued for the purpose of either travel by air or sea, whatever it may be, only one bill of lading, that is multimodal or combined transport bill of lading. Then direct bill of lading. In direct bill of lading is used when you know that the same vessel that is picked up, the cargo will delivered to the destination, that is direct bill of lading. There will be no intervention. Vessel is not going to anywhere else. Then stale bill of lading. Stale bill of lading is occasionally, in cases of the short overseas cargo transportation, cargo arrives to the port before the bill of lading. And when that happens, the bill of lading is then called as a stale bill of lading. Then shipped on board bill of lading. There is always mark or stamp or it will be printed that shipped on board. This type of bill of lading is issued when the cargo arrives at the port in good expected condition for shipping carrier, as then it is loaded down into the cargo ship for transport overseas. It means goods are received, placed on the deck, received, then it is stamped, that is shipped on board, and the date is placed. That date will be considered for calculating the due date of the payment also. Okay, then received a bill of lading. It is simply a bill of lading which states that the cargo has arrived at the port and cleared the loaded on the ship, but has not necessarily mean that it has been loaded. It is used as the temporary bill of lading when ship is late or will be replaced by the shipped or on board bill of lading when the ship arrives and cargo is loaded. That is much before arrival of the ship, this kind of bill of lading, that is received bill of lading, is used. Then closed bill of lading. Closed bill of lading is nothing but there is a certain damage to goods. It consists of certain goods are certain damaged, or there is a missing quantities, or a closed bill of lading is issued. This is very important document in international trade under UCPDC, that is Uniform Customs and Practice for Documentary Credit, ICC publication number revision 2010. Then important another one is a charter party bill of lading. Charter party bill of lading is nothing but it is named, it is containing an indication that it is subject to charter party, subject to charter party, that is charter party bill of lading, and it must appear to be signed by, it must appear to be signed by one, the master or named agent, or on behalf of the master, or the owner or named agent, or and on behalf of the owner or the charter or named agent for or on behalf of the chartered. Okay, any signatures by the masters, owner, charter or agent must be identified as that of the master, owner, charter or agent. Any signature by the agent must indicate whether the agent has signed for and on behalf of the master, owner or charter. An agent who is signing for and on behalf of the owner or the charter must indicate the name of the owner or the charter. They indicate that goods have been shipped or shipped on board a named vessel at the port of loading, stated in the credit by pre-printed wording or an onboard notation indicating the date on which the goods have been shipped on board. This is about closed bill of lading. Now, next one is railway consignment note or railway receipt or railway bill. A road, rail or inland waterway transport document, however, named must appear to one, it indicates that the name of the carrier and be signed by the carrier, or it is named by and for and on behalf of the carrier, or it indicates the receipt of the goods by the signature, stamp or notation by the carrier or a named agent for and on behalf of the carrier. The signature, stamp, notation, etc., or any signature, stamp or notation, etc., the agent must indicate that the agent has signed on behalf of the carrier. Okay. And if a rail transport or document does not identify the carrier, then signature and stamp of the railway company will be accepted as evidence for having received the goods for the delivery. Next one is a post parcel document and other document that to the title of goods. Post parcel, courier receipt, however named as an evidencing as a receipt of the goods for transport, must appear to one, indicate the name of the courier service provider and stamped and signed by the named courier, the service provider, and indicate the date of pickup and also receipt of the wording of this effect. This date will be deemed to be the date of shipment. Then it requirements are the courier charges are to be paid or it may be prepaid depending upon whatever is noted over there. Post receipt or certificate of posting, however named evidencing the receipt of the goods for transport, must appear to be stamped or signed by the signed and dated from by the place from which the credit states that the goods are to be shipped. This date will be deemed to be the date of shipment. Now coming down to annuncial, another document that is financial and financing document. This document consists of bill of exchange, promissory note, trust receipt. These are the three types. And the characteristic feature of each one is a different. Let us see first what is the bill of exchange. Transport document we have seen. Coming down to financial and financing document. First one is a bill of exchange. Now this bill of exchange is a written unconditional order by one party, that is drawer, to another party, that is the drawee, to pay a certain sum either immediately, that is on site basis, or on a fixed date, that is a term bill, for the payment of the goods and also services which is received. The drawee accept the bill of signing, sign it, and thus converting it into the post-dated check and binding itself to make the payment in future date. A bill of exchange is also called as a draft, but while all the drafts are negotiable instrument, only to the order the bill of exchange can be negotiated. It can be negotiated. After the shipment of the goods, the required document of the import along with the bill of exchange are, if submitted with the exporter's bank, to send to the foreign buyer through the bank, through the buyer's bank. The said bill of exchange draws a duplicate as per the specified format. Bill of exchange is nothing but it contains the reference details of the shipment, amount of invoice to be receivable from the overseas buyer, and the time of payment to be effected, bank details, etc. Promissory note is another financing document. This is nothing but it is a financial instrument and that contains the written promise by one party to another party, a definite sum of money, either on demand or on specified future date. Promissory note is contains all the details or terms pertaining to the indebtedness of the issuer or maker to the notes or payee, such as the amount, interest rate, maturity date, and also the place of issuance of issuer's signature. Loan contract, on other hand, usually states the lender's right to recoup, such as foreclosure in the event of default by the borrower, and such provisions are generally absent in the promissory note. So the promissory note that are unconditional always and the stable becomes negotiable instrument act that are extensively used in the business transaction in numerous countries, many countries. Trust receipt is another document, financing document. This is nothing but it is a notice of release of merchandise or goods to a buyer from a bank, with the bank retaining the ownership of the title of the goods. This is an arrangement which is involving by issuing the trust receipt. The bank remains the owner of the merchandise, but the buyer is allowed to hold the merchandise in trust of the bank for manufacturing and sale purposes. The buyer or merchandise, it is subject to the trust receipt, is required to maintain the merchandise, and any proceeds of the sale of the merchandise for the remittance to the bank. In this way, the buyer is permitted to use the merchandise for the trust business activities, but the bank's interest in ownership of the merchandise is always protected under the trust receipt. Now, advantages of the trust receipts consist of: one, buyer may be enjoying the benefits like transport or import invoice financing. Do not need to effect the payment immediately when the documents are presented under documentary credit or documentary collection or open account. And financing can be up to 100% of the documentary credit, documentary collection or invoice value. Buyer may enjoy this condition. In addition to that, it enjoys the credit term, which is pre-approved by the bank with the principal and interest that is payable only on maturity. So the buyer's working capital or cash flow is not tied up or not hold up, blocked up to, and can be deployed for other business purposes also. Coming down to understand other type of document which consists of dock warfanger's receipt. Dock or warfanger's receipt, this is nothing but it is an acknowledgement of the receipt of the goods at the wharf, and it is issued by the warfanger. It is received by warfanger. It is a legal value similar to that of the warfanger's warehouse receipt. Simply, it is a warehouse receipt, like it works like. Now, the bill of lading and warfanger's receipts are the commercial instrument, and their transferability, or it's a, sometimes it is termed their quasi-negotiable instrument, or it may be depends on the custom or merchandise and the convenience of the trade. Okay. This receipt for the goods is given by the dock or warehouse or wharf acknowledgement, and the goods are awaiting shipment. A more formal document is dock warrant or warfanger's warrant, which gives the holder a title to the goods. This is the document which is used in shipping port authority that certifies the title of the goods consignee or consigner while shipments are stored in the warehouse or storage lot. Dock warrant in law is a document by which the owner of the marine or river dock certifies that the holder is entitled to goods imported and warehoused in the dock. Delivery order is another financing document. According to the Uniform Customs and Uniform Commercial Codes, the delivery order refers to an order which is given by the owner of the goods to the person in possession of them to the carrier or warehouse man, directing that person to deliver the goods to a person which is named in that order. This delivery order was not regarded as document to the title of the goods in the commercial law, with a result that the transfer of the delivery order did not affect the transfer of constructive possession of goods. Next one is a shipping bill. shipping bill or bill of export is the main document which is required by the customs authority for allowing the shipment. This shipping bill is issued by the shipping agent, which represents the certificate for all the parties. Certificate for all the parties, like ship owner, sailor, buyer, some other parties. Okay. In addition to that, the shipping bill shall be submitted in the duplicate in the authority concerned. It may be the Commissioner of Customs or the SEZ, or if the export is from made through them. After verifying the authenticity, the concerned shall hand over the exporter one copy of the shipping bill to the marked as an exchange copy. But once it is exporter's copy is issued, within 21 days from the date of that shipping bill, it has to be submitted to the by the exporter to its banks for the purpose of negotiation or collection of the export document. However, in case where exchange copy or shipping bill is not printed in terms of the CBEC circular nowadays, because after introduction of export data process managing system, that is EDPMS, no physical shipping bill will be issued. It will be directly uploaded by the customs office to the Reserve Bank of India, and Reserve Bank of India will be make it available online to see on this EDPMS port. So there is no question of submission of this shipping bill by the exporter to its bankers, because it is available online on EDPMS only. The manner of disposal of exchange copy of the shipping bill has to be the same as that of export declaration form. Okay, duplicate copy of the form together with the copy of the invoice shall be submitted and retained by the ED, and that may be submitted to the Reserve Bank of India. Actually, it is not submitted to Reserve Bank of India. It is retained by the ED bank. The question of disposal of exchange control copy of the shipping bill in old regime, earlier when EDPMS was not came into the place, this was not arising nowadays, because it is now available online only, so there is no need to submit it. So friends, various types of document that is required to be prepared by the exporter or seller, it is no doubt the task is Herculean task. But again, everything depends on the document, your finance, your requirement, everything depends upon the document, and money is moving around this document. Bankers are only seeing these documents, and these documents are nothing but these are the instrument to collect the payment on against the goods supplied by you. So with this small note, we will complete this chapter 6, documents in trade finance. So thank you very much for the time being.